The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. Despite Craig's protest, desperate he was to talk about Porto against Inter, we'll kick things off with Manchester City's 7-0 thrashing against Leipzig. 8-1 on aggregate, which sees Pep Guardiola's side through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. De Bruyne, Gundogan, and the 5 goals for Erling Haaland, proving to be the big difference between these two teams. So more on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Frank LaBeouf and Shaka Hislop join us. Oh, Craig, Haaland.
Well, Haaland. I mean, but it's everything we've been asking for City, or wondering. We talked at the weekend about their performance at Crystal Palace, which was a little bit dull. A lot of their performances have been that way, but they've been getting results, and we're kind of wondering, when are they going to kickstart this, taking the game by the scruff of the neck, playing at a faster pace, getting it forward, De Bruyne making the runs. We had it all tonight. Yeah. So it's kind of been in the wings. We wondered if it was going to come along. We wonder if they can take it into the Premier League. They've got a gap to Arsenal. But that was, I mean, they were sensational. And RB Leipzig, I mean,
we're not.
I thought there was no easy games in the knockout stages of the Champions League. That was pitiful. Pitiful from the Bundesliga side.
Frank, you have been arguably the most critical of Manchester City over recent weeks. The word boring, you've associated them with quite a lot. They were anything but that tonight.
Definitely. They were wearing the Champions League suit today, working hard, you know, working together, giving some pace to the game as well, which is not what they normally do. But nothing to complain about Manchester City. But we will have to talk about the referees. I mean, the penalty, and then after the foul on Ederson, and then maybe the foul of Haaland on the third goal. I mean, maybe it's a debate.
Oh, Frank,
and maybe
they won 7-0.
You know,
we can't start. 7-0, Frank. We can't start on the referee, can we? It's a side note, surely.
If you don't accept the first penalty, it's another game, because 2 minutes after you have the second goal, the game is over. If you give maybe a red card to Ederson, who doesn't touch the ball.
You can't give Ederson a red card for
At the very worst, he's getting booked there. I mean, it wasn't great, but I have to say the penalty didn't change the game, because RB Leipzig were just completely outplayed. I mean, it's a different planet, right? City, one planet. RB Leipzig, not in the same one, right? Two different spheres here.
Yeah, but doesn't excuse the ref.
No, I know, and it wasn't a penalty. I mean, it's the same player was in that controversial incident at the end in Leipzig. However, I'm not disputing the ball hit his arm, but the ball basically doesn't change trajectory. Yeah. It still goes to the same spot. It was over-fussy officiating. So it wasn't a penalty, or it shouldn't have been a penalty. But this game was always going to be, in the end, cannon fodder from Man City. This didn't change it, to be honest.
No, exactly. It was an unnecessary decision, really, that the official decided to make.
Look at me, basically clips.
But even if it wasn't given, you feel, Shaka, it would have been delaying the inevitable anyway, the way that City came out and dominated this game.
Yeah, listen, I thought this was as good a performance that we've seen from City for quite some time. We know that this City side are capable of that. We just haven't seen it frequently enough, and certainly Not at this level. Goals change games, and that being the first goal gives RB Leipzig something to argue about. But the truth is, when City are in this form, I don't think that there's a better side. And we've been discussing bookies' favourites and who you fancy in the Champions League. When City play at this level, I walk back what I said, that Bayern Munich could be the favourites. The issue is City just, too often, it seems that they get into their own heads. We've accused Pep Guardiola of overcoaching, of overthinking. Put your best players out on the park. Let them play their games. That's what City did today, and I thought you saw as good a team as we've seen for some time.
This doesn't change anything for me in terms of City being favourites or not. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I tell you why. Because doing that against a Bayern Munich or even a Real Madrid or maybe one of the others, one or two of the others, is a different kettle of fish. Doing it against Leipzig is great. But you think how embarrassingly easy the first half in Leipzig was?
Right.
Embarrassingly easy. And they allowed RB Leipzig back in the game. They gifted them back in the game. There's a huge disparity here between the quality of these sides. And this is a brilliant, brilliant evening for Haaland and Man City. There's no getting away from that. But it doesn't change anything for me, really, in terms of how I look at this City side. There are much bigger hurdles to get over. There are teams that are going to give them so many more problems. There are teams that are not going to defend like this RB Leipzig side. So it's a brilliant evening. You take it, you roll with it, you try and get yourself momentum from it. But this ain't Bayern Munich or Real Madrid. It's just not. I mean, that's a different kettle of fish altogether.
It's a conversation to be had a little later on. I feel like we're burying the lead slightly, which is without a doubt Erling Haaland getting 5 goals in one game, matching the record in the Champions League with Messi and Adriano in the past, Frank.
Well, he missed a couple, so he needs to sharpen up.
Yeah, it was 8 shots. 8 shots, he only scored 5 goals. Like, these goals weren't spectacular. They're not going to win Goal of the Month competitions, but he just seems to be in the right place at the right time. How much is that his instinct? How much is that in talent? How much is that his luck?
Yeah. All of those things.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you need a slice of luck. You need good instinct. You need the talent. You need the belief. I mean, following in that De Bruyne shot was a typical example.
Right.
You know, and he's physically strong enough and big enough that he can get the header in from the De Bruyne shot in the first half that came off the bar, because he's a 6'5" and he can mop that up. If that was Julian Alvarez, it would have went skating over his head. So his physical attributes are helping him out. A couple of times in the second half, the ball fell to him, he smashed it in.
Yep.
Right place, right time. He came short to join in a few times during the game. He made some good runs in behind. It was interesting, after all the talk about De Bruyne, that's the most I've seen De Bruyne in that inside right position, making those runs, and I really think it benefited Erling Haaland.
Of course.
Because one, it took the defenders away and shuffled them across, and as they shuffled across, he spun to the back post. From that position, you're able to hold that position at the back post or make a run across. And De Bruyne was whipping balls into the box. So when City are in possession, this is what we see. A back three with Akanji on the right and John Stones getting into the middle of the field. That gives them more men forward. And when City are in possession, John Stones filters back in to that right-back position. Now, they've been doing this pretty much all season, whether it's been Rico Lewis, whether it's Kyle Walker, or whether it's John Stones. But tonight, this worked brilliantly for him. It didn't work so well at the weekend at Crystal Palace. Mm. Got them a result, but they were not spectacular.
No, you just feel there was just a little bit more energy today. Frank, talk to us about Erling Haaland.
I like to say that today he was spot on, because that's really what I felt when I saw him playing. He was always in the right place at the right time, in the right spot. And that was what he's capable of doing, of feeling. Yeah, it's a little bit of luck, but when it comes once, twice, thrice, you know, you start thinking that you feel it and you have a little bit of experience with that. And also his commitment. On the third goal, he chases the goalkeeper. He gets the ball back, you know, after, I think, just get a long ball, give it to De Bruyne, follows the shot and finishes the action with scoring the goal. So when you are three times, you know, in the action, it means a lot, you know, for me in terms of commitment and what you do for the team. He doesn't touch lots of balls, but he's always 100%, always committed. And the luck comes from that commitment, I think, and it's why he's so successful.
Haven't got it in front of me, and I should, but I wonder what maybe you'll be able to tell me this.
I doubt it.
I very much doubt it. I'm not holding out.
Right, okay.
And I'm certainly not holding out getting in my ear.
Right, okay.
I wonder, and they have no idea what I'm talking about at the moment. So
here we go.
What the record is for a player playing for a British club in all competitions in that season.
Right.
I don't know what it is, whether it's 45, 50 or above. I can remember Clive Allen scoring 49, I think, for Tottenham back in the day. in all competitions.
Dixie Dean 60, is that the record,
Someone's
I believe?
Goal,
I,
didn't he?
No, no, I remember, I think Ian Dart mentioned it in the commentary.
Did he? Right, I'll trust Darkie. I mean, I don't, not, what's he at the moment? I'm not exactly sure what Haaland's at the moment, but the way he's going, he could, we were thinking 50 goals. I mean, he could smash that.
It's the sheer volume of goals, isn't it, Shaq?
Yeah, it is. And we know exactly how good a finisher Erling Haaland is. We saw that. And the worrying thing is he's still 22 years old. And you talking about whether it's luck, it's instinct, and Craig's right in pointing out that it's all of the above. But the other cliche to this is you earn your luck. And for instance, you saw that in the second goal. It was Erling Haaland who chases and closes the goalkeeper down. The ball falls to De Bruyne, and then it's Erling Haaland who's first to follow in for the header. So while you can say, well, it's a little bit of luck, a little bit of instinct, you have to say he earned that, and he worked for that. So while the others were tap-ins, and some of them, as much as they were tap-ins, the ball comes at him quickly in a fairly crowded box, and he's able to stay at wide of defenders on the line. Those things you associate with strikers later on in their careers. To be doing that, to have that kind of instinct, and I think it's as probably more instinct than luck, to have those kinds of instincts at 22 years old is phenomenal and incredible to witness.
He scored 39 goals already this season in all competitions. The record, I was 100% correct, is Dixie Dean.
Oh, of course you were. I wouldn't expect anything else from you.
With 60. Frank, we talked about this before, trying to defend against him. We've seen people, of course, pull it off.
It's always, you know, a question mark. You know, do you get a little bit of space like that when he turns, you can get it, or do you try to get it before he gets the ball? That's always, you know, a question mark that you will have. But overall, you know, there is no really big solution. You have to be helped out by your friends, your teammates. We have to make sure they can cover you up, and maybe you can have the chance. But you see, he's always there. He's always the right spot. Nobody could cope with him tonight because he was there. He was fast. In everything that he did, he was very sharp into it. And it's not possible to deal with it. Even the goalkeeper made some saves, but it's always come back to him. And that's crazy. That's crazy. It's, as we say, instinct. I think Xhaka found the right word.
It's quite an easy answer to this, really, I think. The answer, I think, in handling Erling Haaland is... he's not been difficult to handle. Think about Palace at the weekend. Gay and Anderson did not have a difficult time with Erling Haaland.
Mm-hmm.
Did not. Not really. Yeah, he scored a penalty. There's been many games this season, teams haven't had a big problem with Erling Haaland. But that's when City haven't played in that manner. When City play...
Exactly.
With this kind of pace and this kind of incision, with balls in the box, with runners from midfield, with players just taking up all sorts of different positions that allows him to find some space, then he's a nightmare. Balls are coming in the box, balls are going down the side, balls are going in behind. That's when he is your worst nightmare. When you're playing it slow around, like they have been quite a lot this season, he's posting up in front of you.
Yeah.
He's coming short. If he's going 20, 30 yards short at Old Trafford as he did, I haven't got a problem with that. Hey, on you go. One of the midfielders will pick him up. I'm not going to go in with him. But when City are playing like that, with that pace and that quality, he knows the balls are coming in. That's when he's difficult. So it's down to what City do as much as it's down to what Erling Haaland does.
Go on, Frank.
Yeah, I think I will go with Craig. I think you can handle Haaland if you handle Gundogan and De Bruyne, which is very difficult. They are very... I think there is a dependence to those two players. When those two players in a big time, where they have a good game, it's impossible to cope with them. Therefore, you will see Haaland finishing actions. Those players are so important in the game that the only way to cope with Haaland is to avoid Gundogan and De Bruyne to serve him.
We spoke at length yesterday, didn't we, about those pre-match comments from Pep Guardiola about Kevin De Bruyne, talking about how he needs to simplify his game and stop trying to complicate things. This was arguably the best game we've seen from De Bruyne since the World Cup today. So did those words resonate? Did he go out there to try and prove his boss wrong?
He said he hasn't taken it on board. He said he hasn't really seen it as criticism, that his performances have been up to his usual standard, and he's Kevin De Bruyne, this is, he's quoted stats and all this. But it hasn't. It hasn't. His performances have been, by many of us mere mortals, would have been brilliant.
Yeah, but that's where you set the bar when you're a world-class player.
But he didn't have a good World Cup on and off the field. He looked tired going into it. He looked tired coming out of it. His performances were a little sluggish. He looked a little heavy-legged. His passings and his passing didn't quite have the same crispness. And I think it wasn't the manager criticising him. I think it was the manager being asked a question and given a pretty honest answer that, yeah, we need him to be absolutely back to his best. And as Frank said, if he's back to his best and Gundogan and Mahrez and Foden, when they're all getting used, then voila. Erling Haaland gets the deliveries that he needs.
Shaka, he was so good today. Obviously, the goal, very much the icing on the cake. But for the whole 90 minutes, he was such a threat.
And we know that. We know the criticisms we've had around City, you can echo with Kevin De Bruyne, that we know exactly how good they can be. They just haven't shown it enough this season. And as much as, of course, Erling Haaland grabs all the headlines, When Kevin De Bruyne is in this kind of form, Erling Haaland will grab all the headlines, and I think rightly so. The trouble when you have talents such as Kevin De Bruyne is you don't have anybody to judge them against but themselves. So when Kevin De Bruyne is a good player by everybody else's measure, that's a lesser player in comparing him to his previous self, and it feels like criticism when really it's not. And again, I think you saw that.
So overall, Frank, as we mentioned, Manchester City are favourites, according to the bookies, to win the Champions League. Does today change anything? Or are you a bit like Craig in saying you're going to come up against a proper opponent that is going to sit, that's going to make you work, that is going to defend a lot harder than we saw from Leipzig, certainly today?
Yes. It makes a point where offensively they show that when they are very good, you know, they're unstoppable. But even at 2-0 for them, Leipzig came back and had kind of chances to maybe get them back and score one goal. Maybe with a bad pass from Rodri, I think, and they had a chance. Werner didn't get the ball. So it's always something that doesn't work at some point where they get, I would say, a little bit sloppy. Will make me think that comparing to teams like Real Madrid or Bayern Munich, there is always a chance to score against City. So if City is not sharp offensively, they can have issues because of their defensive concentration, I would say.
They're 8-1 to do the treble, the FA Cup, the Premier League, and the Champions League.
Yep. I'm not putting my money there.
No, I think that is not particular value, isn't it? Especially when you look at the way Arsenal are playing at the moment. Shaka, for you, this game does change things.
It does. And because of the criticisms we've had about Pep Guardiola and Manchester City and in particular this competition. Now, Frank has this weird saying about finals and whether you play them or whether you win them. Some nonsense he goes on about all the time. If Pep Guardiola and City just go and play those games, just puts his best team out, lets them play without overthinking it too much, I think the City are better than everybody else in European football. And the question just becomes, do you trust Guardiola to do that? And I'm not sure that I do, in all honesty. They can be and should win this competition. Given this performance, I just fear that Guardiola is somehow going to overthink it yet again.
I mean, I think if the question was, will Man City outplay anybody they draw? The answer's yes.
Yeah, but that's a weird question to ask.
No, but I mean, here's the problem. They've been doing that for years now. They'll outplay any team, and I include Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Napoli. But the difference being is, will their defence and their shape hold up when, if they were to go to Naples, say, if they were to draw Napoli, they would probably get 60-65% possession. But Napoli are absolutely brilliant hitting on the break, pace and power. Can they cope with that? Could they cope with Bayern Munich? Even Benzema and Real Madrid and Vinicius, that's a question that every time it's been asked of this City side, Dan, they've blown up.
Right.
I mean, 2-0 up in Madrid in the Bernabeu, coming up to 90 minutes, they lose two goals, go to extra time, they get knocked out. I get it. Brilliant performance, brilliant team, great manager, fantastic squad, but have a capacity to blow up in the big knockout moments. And those big knockout moments are still to come. It's not RB Leipzig. That's not a huge moment. They were expected to go through.
But not in this manner. Oh. And we got to talk about Leipzig a little bit. In the... Yeah, does that noise sum it up?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but listen. You can play team. I'll guarantee you, put it one way. I'll guarantee you Burnley at the weekend won't get beat by 7 goals in the FA Cup.
Right.
A championship side. I might have to eat my words there. I don't think they will. And here we have one of the top supposed German teams. Okay, we know they're not in the title race with Bayern Munich and Dortmund, and certainly not on that showing. But here we have a Champions League knockout team with good players, really good players, and a supposed quality coach in Marco Rosa being embarrassed, dismantled. 5 goals in 30-odd minutes or something. For any professional, that's an embarrassing lack of belief, organisation and basics. So yeah, you can say City are brilliant, but I've seen bang average Premier League teams put up a better defence against City than what this side have put up tonight.
Do you agree, Frank?
I think Craig is a bit harsh on the Leipzig.
Well, you can't lose 7 goals in the Champions League, Frank, and say you hang your head.
No, but you know football. You are more experienced than anybody else, you know, and you know that at some point, at some time, it can happen one day. Remember that Manchester United, it wasn't Champions League, but Manchester United just lost 7-0 against Liverpool. Liverpool, yeah.
They were embarrassing.
All over the place, all season long. And it can happen that one day nothing goes with you and you lose your spirit. You know half time that the game is over. You're so disappointed that you can't put even your pride on top of it and you are smashed. I mean, it can happen to everybody. I think Leipzig is much better than that. They showed it in the first leg. And yes, they were very disappointed. I agree with you. They're not at the same level as City. They're not Real Madrid or Bayern Munich. I agree with you. But I think it was a day off. It was a real day off for them.
What do you think, Shaq?
I'm siding with Frank here. I think not a particularly tough group to come through with Shakhtar and Celtic, I think I'm right in saying. But then you come up against City in a game, you have to go to the Etihad in a game that you really tried to win. I think that is as thankless a task as you can ask going into it. Yeah. And then City just have this kind of a day. And you have to take that knock on the chin and just kind of move on as best you can. Craig's right in that they are not Dortmund. They certainly are not Bayern Munich, but they are not as bad a team as this scoreline would suggest, or they're not a worse team than Burnley. Certainly not.
But you get yourself a decent shape and you don't get embarrassed, right? And you show a bit of bottle and you show a bit of fight and you show a bit of nous. You're not going to win the game, but we're not going to get... I mean, this game could have been 10. It could have been 10. City missed chances in the first half and then he took Haaland off and others and the game slowed down because it was a bore fest. So you make it difficult for them to really embarrass you. You know what I've got to say about having a bad day? Getting beat 3 or 4, 4 or 5 is a bad day at the office. When you start getting into the realms of 6, 7, 8 and worse potentially, that's not a bad day at the office. That's an embarrassment, a professional embarrassment.
Yes, you gave up, Craig, I agree, but don't forget, again, because I found you all three very presumptuous, you know, saying that you know the future. the referee didn't give that penalty, I don't know what would have happened. Yes, maybe City would have won, but I'm not sure about that. So really, it changed everything because 2 minutes after Alan scored a second goal, game over. And you are smashing the face because you think that you don't deserve that. Because before that, it didn't seem to me, it didn't occur to me that Manchester City was really above Leipzig. I'm very sorry. So this penalty has to be considered as a big knock, and they got another one 2 minutes after. How do you get up after that? And you consider a third goal just before halftime? Game over. Game over. So you have, football is full of details, but sometimes bad details by referees. And you have to consider that maybe Leipzig could have done better without those referees' mistakes.
I don't know, Frank. I don't see that. I mean, it was so one-sided tonight. I mean, the second goal had nothing to do with the penalty. And if you're feeling sorry for yourself after the penalty, which was wrong, in my opinion, and then it tells you all you need to know about this team.
I don't say that.
They crumbled.
I don't say that, Craig. I just say that it came just 2 minutes after the goal, the penalty. So it's over. I just say that. You know, the penalty is a mistake.
This game was
a lot more reaction than on what we saw in the Champions League on our YouTube channel. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to go there and subscribe to ESPN FC. Now, the boys mentioned it, of course. Manchester City's next game is against Burnley. That game live on ESPN Plus on Saturday at 1:45 Eastern. Three remaining quarterfinals will be played on Sunday. Sheffield United, Blackburn, Brighton, Grimsby and Manchester United, Fulham.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Right, we've had the appetizer. Let's have the main course now. Remember, Inter 1-0 up going into the second leg in Portugal. Porto taking on Inter. And it kind of went to plan. Porto 0, Inter 0. Inter more than happy to sit back and absorb the pressure that Porto would put on them. And in the end, Porto couldn't make the breakthrough. If you wanted to watch this game, you could fast forward pretty much to watch, Shaka, the 85th minute. Because then it got interesting, because then Porto were throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at that Inter defence. Hit the post twice, but couldn't get that goal.
Yeah, listen, if you want a thrilling replay of this game, just put up that same full screen that we just showed and stare at it for 85 minutes, because that is all that happened. To be fair to Inter Milan, they came for a 0-0 and it was a wonderfully played game in that regard from their respect. 5-3-2 broke every now and then. But didn't really offer too much. Onana was called to make a couple of saves, a couple of decent saves, but saves you'd expect him to make. And then things really came to life in the last few minutes. Dumfries cleared it off the line. Onana was at full stretch to tip one onto the post. Porto then hit the crossbar. Porto then had a man sent off. And all of a sudden, it was as though Porto really started to gamble that late on. At no point before did they themselves seem to lose their shape and take any kind of chances. Just in fear, because to be fair to Inter, with the two up, they broke a couple of times and probably promised a whole lot more. So for Inter Milan, you're happy with the way things went. Obviously, you're through to the next round. For Porto, you're wishing you're taking chances earlier on. If you're a neutral, if your boss asks you to watch this game, you're not that pleased. Wow.
Frank, can you admire, though, the defensive way that Inter set up for this game with your centre-back ways?
Yeah, it's typical Italian, and we know they masters that, and they know how to do it for decades, you know, maybe century now. And they exactly did what they had to do. They worked very hard together, and you have to congratulate that. They came for that, and they expected to suffer defensively, but they were ready for that. And there is no complaint whatsoever from myself to Inter. But Porto didn't put the pace, the craziness that you need, especially in Champions League, to surprise your opponent, especially an Italian opponent who is ready to fight tactically with you in that matter. And Porto didn't go fast enough to surprise Inter. It never happened, except the last 5 minutes of the game. It was maybe the extra time already, so it's too late. But it's sometimes we see that. We see that with Spurs in the Premier League. Sometimes we saw that with Chelsea as well, where you are desperate, and then you play the right game. Why do you wait? Start from scratch, and maybe you can win.
Three Italian teams in the last day. Two of them you'd taken a heartbeat, and the other one you'd...
Well, Napoli haven't advanced yet, but they look like they will advance, obviously, tomorrow.
It's my anti-German ways again. I've got them going through against Eintracht Frankfurt before.
Italian?
Huh?
Oh, anti-German ways.
Yeah, because I've got them already through.
Right.
Because they'll go through.
Eintracht Frankfurt 750-1.
Yeah. I'm not putting any money on them coming back.
Wow.
If Napoli do progress, which I think they will, they're definitely a team to avoid. The other two, I would take them. I'd absolutely want one of those two.
Yeah.
Inter or Milan. Not great sides, but are in the last eight because they've come up against teams. Milan, it was Spurs, and Inter, it was Porto. They just didn't do enough. Just did not do enough.
I
don't know how the hell Chelsea are 10-1.
Well, I suppose. Anything else? Anyone like to add anything more to this game?
Porto had a proud shot. It was soft as City's for the first goal. Rightly not given.
Frank said it was a penalty.
I don't get Frank on the referees again.
I thought Frank said it was a penalty. No?
No, that's true. That's true. I think it should have been a penalty maybe for, I remember, first half. So it was for Porto in a near post where there was a push from an Italian defender. And 2 minutes after, there was a free kick which should have been given because
good.
Of Dan Flavin's foul.
Thank you very much, Frank. Just a reminder, the latest edition of the Gavin Jules podcast is available to listen to now. Be sure to check it out.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, of course, two spaces left in the Champions League. Real Madrid and Napoli very much the favourites to fulfil them. Let's take a look at the tie first at the Santiago Bernabeu. Real Madrid 5-2 of leaders going into that tie. Everyone has got Real Madrid to go through. Liverpool has 16-1 to advance. Interesting stuff from Carlo Ancelotti, I thought, ahead of this game. Saying mentally the game tomorrow is more complicated for us than Liverpool. Liverpool have to come full on to get the best they can from the first minute to the last, no matter what happens. The first leg result creates doubts in us in that sense. We will try to be at our best from the first minute, but it's inevitable that we have more doubts than our opponents. Does that make sense?
I know what he's trying to say, but it's not difficult for me to look at Real Madrid's tactics. Is have a really good shape, suck Liverpool in, then hit them on the counter-attack with the pace that they know we know Real Madrid have against a shambolic Liverpool back line. I mean, Bournemouth gave them so many problems at the weekend. The only real standout result they've had is that Manchester United one, which was great. But look at 90% of their other games this year, particularly in the Premier League or even in the Champions League in Naples in the group stage. They got absolutely ransacked defensively. So from Real Madrid's perspective, let them come on and just make sure that you're absolutely solid and then pick Liverpool off. That's how I see this game going.
Frank, we see it though in the past, don't we, when teams have big leads, like for example from a first half to a second half, the team that has got the advantage kind of takes their foot off the gas. How easy is this from a Real Madrid perspective to go in there and give it 100% given you've already got a 5-2 lead?
I think they play at home, so the best way for me is to play their game, not calculating what Liverpool's going to do in order to react to them. Real Madrid is Real Madrid. They know what they have to do. They play at home, and they should be able to do what they want. I like the comment of Mr. Ancelotti, and it's why he's good. He's politically correct. He knows that. He has to say that in order to show respect to Liverpool. But I'm French, so I'm not humble. So I would say, you know, we know that we won 5-2. So if we do what we have to do, we will go through. That will be my comment. But he's not like me. He's more humble than I am. He knows football certainly more than me. So it's why he say that. But how many... What were the chances for Liverpool to come back against Real Madrid and score more than three goals than Real Madrid to only equalise? So I don't see that coming, especially that Liverpool this season.
It'll be interesting to see what sort of team Carlo Ancelotti puts out as well. Remember, at the weekend, it's El Clasico. Maybe we could see the opportunity for Eden Hazard, who has been speaking really,
haven't got that big a lead.
Really for the first time this season about his lack of playing time, saying, I'm waiting for one thing, to be on the pitch to prove that I still know how to play football. People doubt me, it's normal. Deep down, I think I can contribute something. I just need minutes in the legs. There is respect between Ancelotti and me, but I'm not going to say that we talk to each other, because we don't. But there will always be respect, even if tomorrow he doesn't pick me. Ancelotti responded to these quotes saying, the relationship isn't cold, we don't talk much, I don't speak much with him, but speaking is also about character. If you've gotten better with one person or another, it's the same with your children. You can speak more with one child than another. That isn't the most important thing. What's important to me is that even though he doesn't play much, he respects me, and I value that a lot, and I respect him in exactly the same way. Perfect response from Ancelotti, which has kind of developed into a sad situation. And Eden Hazard, one of the best players in the world at one stage, now can't even really get into a Real Madrid squad, let alone a Real Madrid starting 11.
It is a shame, but a lot of it is down to the player himself and his lack of desire to come back in the modern game in the right shape. And subsequently, you have to work harder to get your fitness, you pick up injuries. Not all his fault, but some is, and some have been. And so I don't really have a lot of sympathy there. Listen, they might as well give this guy his money and say, listen, let's just be done with it. I don't think they'll do that, but, you know, behind the scenes, I'm sure there's some negotiations. Say, listen, you've got, what, 16 months left in your contract or whatever it is? You know, here's 12 months. Let's just call it a day. Because he's absolutely no use in a playing perspective to this squad, this manager. He's just not. I mean, he says all the right things.
He hasn't caused any trouble, has he, Hazard, really? Like,
caused a lot of trouble because he cost about...
Yes.
80 million. He's on bucket loads of cash and he hasn't kicked the ball, basically. So, in a football sense, he's caused him a problem that way. But he's not even a player now that... If Ancelotti looked around to the bench and there were a couple of goals down, he's just in front of the goalkeeper to come on.
Yeah.
That's where he is. And that ain't going to change.
We talk about the biggest flop in Real Madrid's transfer history. It's got to be up there with one of the worst transfers ever that we've seen in all of football. €115 million for an Eden Hazard who just hasn't done it or got anywhere near the sort of standard that we're expecting him to bring to Madrid, Frank.
Yeah, it's sad in a way because what he showed for Chelsea from when he was playing for Chelsea was unbelievable, and so everybody expected big success to him playing for Real Madrid, and it never happened for many reasons. But I don't understand his comment, really. Football should be first choice, first thought, not money, not where you play. You wasted so many years not playing, being on the bench, being injured. Just think about the pleasure of being on the field with any other club in the world, any other club, because what you are first is a football player. You're not a businessman, you're a football player. You have enough in your bank account. Enjoy the rest of your career because you're gonna regret that, I can tell you, because we all want to be a football player still. I mean, we cannot, we know our time is past, but that guy still have like 2-3 years maybe to enjoy football. It was what we were made for. It's playing football. So why do you want to play like few minutes for Real Madrid? Just play for any other team for nothing. Just for the joy of playing football. That's what you should be driving from.
He's got Major League Soccer written all over him, hasn't he?
Could be. Yeah, it could be MLS move. That's not a bad shout, actually.
It is for them.
Yeah, well, yes, indeed.
It is for them.
And Shaka Ancelotti playing it as you would expect him to.
Once again, Ancelotti says exactly the right thing. He said the right thing about the game against Liverpool. He said the right thing about Eden Hazard here. And I disagree with Frank slightly on his assessment of Hazard's statement. I thought what he said was absolutely the right thing. And nothing that surprising that he doesn't speak to Ancelotti. I think that just comes down to a professional pride. You recognize that you're not contributing and you just kind of keep your head down. So I don't see an issue there. Where I think I disagree with Frank is that I don't think Eden Hazard has to come out and say that he wants to move. I think saying that you're willing to stay and prove yourself to be the player that Real Madrid bought is exactly what you say publicly. It's exactly what you want the fans to hear. You can then go, or have your agent go, or however you manage it, behind the scenes and say to Ancelotti or whoever is in charge of transfers, listen, just let me go. Pay me up, pay me half what you owe me, and let me go in the summer. But as we've seen from Eden Hazard ever since he arrived, and you mentioned it, Dan, He's not a troublemaker. He's not going to say the wrong things. And I think continuing to do so publicly is absolutely the right way to go about this. What he said there is exactly what I would advise him to say. But then you go behind the scenes and have more intense negotiations about your exit.
I tell you what else is a gigantic waste of time.
Oh.
Interviewing him. Where's this come from?
Oh, I don't know. They'd say someone wanted to interview.
What's the point interviewing Eden Hazard at the moment, in the last 12 months? What's the point?
Well, to find out what he's thinking. How are you?
Everybody knows the scenario. What's the point? He's an afterthought now.
Might say something interesting.
Well, he's an afterthought now. Unfortunately, he was a player who carried Chelsea. He was brilliant. But he's now an afterthought. And whilst... And I slightly... Sort of when you say he's not a troublemaker, there's different ways to be a troublemaker or a problem. And coming back, admitting you're like a beach ball because you never looked after yourself, is in some sense causing trouble. Because it's causing a problem for your manager, for your teammates, for yourself. And all those things are a problem. And he admitted that. This isn't 1990s, 1980s and 90s when the scrutiny on players just was not there. The need to be in the best shape possible was slack. The modern day with the wages and what's at stake, it's ill-advised and quite frankly unprofessional to not come back, particularly when you've made the biggest move in your life, in the best shape of your life. And he's never done it. And it's all been hollow words. Even in the summer, I'm working out, I'm doing this. He hasn't looked any different.
Right.
He hasn't looked any different at all. So I don't even understand why, unless it's some sort of Belgium paper that wants to talk to him and it's been translated.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Right. That's the only reason it could be.
Yeah.
Because even they can't be holding out any hope for him. He captained them at the World Cup. Go figure. Roberto Martinez had him as captain. Carlo Ancelotti won't even bring him on from the bench. That tells you what a shambles Belgium was.
So Hazard struggling for minutes. Pogba as well for different reasons, of course. He's just played 34 so far this season. He's injured once again, this time taking free kicks after training. Frank, take us as just a footballing perspective. Could you criticise him for doing that? Or is it something that you just do naturally and you can't pick on him? Because obviously he thinks he's back to full fitness.
No, I would never criticize a player who does extra job after training sessions. And Paul was or used to be a good guy for free kicks, and he knows how to curve the ball. So he does what he has to do. It's part of his job, and if he does extra, it's good because he needs to recover and needs to come back in a good shape on the field. He's only 29. He's not that old, and he should be capable of doing that. It's just, let's say, bad luck, really bad luck. Being conservative doesn't help in football. We know that if you pay attention, if you don't give 100% during games, you're going to get injured. That's what it is. But when you feel good and you are in a training session, and you want to do free kicks after the game, after the training session, it's part of your job because you're one of the guys who's going to shoot free kicks. So nothing to complain about. Yeah. People who say that he was unprofessional doing so, I think, are not football people who understand football.
Wasn't he injured half the time at Man United, though?
Yes. Yes, he was.
It's not all bad luck. Can't all be bad luck.
Right.
I'm not saying this one isn't, but it can't all be. He's another one. He's gone. I mean, not to Hazard's extent, but, you know, he'll get in. You know, Paul Pogba's at that stage, he'd get injured getting out of bed in the morning. Do you know what I mean? It just seems to be following him everywhere. And then you've got to question the desire, whether it's the desire to be that player that he once was. And I don't think, having watched him for the last 2 or 3 years and how that's panned out, that all these injuries now are not a coincidence. I think a lot of it is down to the player, the player's mindset, and the player's desire to keep himself in the best shape possible, because he's done it all. Done it all in the game. World Cups, Champions League, I believe, you know, titles, all that. And you've got to ask yourself, and I think Man United were asking this, does he really want to be that brilliant player again? And I think the answer is probably no.
I've been thinking of a segue to get from Pogba to Napoli Frankfurt, and I've got nothing. So we'll be Napoli against Eintracht Frankfurt.
You should have told me, I would have helped you.
No, well, what would you have said?
I would have come up with something.
Oh, really? I was trying there, because you were blabbering on. Everyone's going for a Napoli win. Of course, they take a 2-0 lead into that second leg in Italy. We'll be back here tomorrow to reflect on that game. Plus, of course, Liverpool against Real Madrid. Stevie's here in the studio. Oh, we have angry Stevie.
Is he angry about Liverpool? Happy about Liverpool?
Who knows?
No idea.
We'll find out. Be sure to join us.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The draw was made today for the Scottish Cup, and it will be an Old Firm derby. Rangers against Celtic, Falkirk against Inverness, meanwhile, in the other semi-final. Both those games live on ESPN+.
Oh, I see the hot and cold balls are not working these days.
Oh, no, they want that as a final, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Well, somebody's in trouble.
Oh, they were. Meanwhile, Alejandro Zendejas has chosen to play for the US men's national team. Of course, this has been a hot debate on Football America's over the last few weeks. But in the end, the Club America midfield has decided to go with the US men. Meanwhile, FIFA have backtracked somewhat on how they're going to set things up for the World Cup in 2026. Remember, it was originally going to be 16 groups of three teams. It's now going to be 12 groups of four teams after what we saw, of course, in the World Cup in Qatar, which is provided to be very entertaining for all. Football Americas will drop on Thursday. Zendejas, of course, will be a big talking point for them. Be sure to join them.
That's how bad Mexico are. He wants to play for the US.
Speaking of how basically bad people are, do you want to see Cristiano Ronaldo angry? Here he is then, of course, buying his trade in Saudi Arabia at the moment. Here he is on a counter-attack. Oh, he's not happy. Oh, no, kicks that away. The referee blew the halftime whistle. Oh, no.
I mean, why would you? I mean, halftime. Why, you can't have halftime.
How dare you?
You
how
can't
dare
have
you?
Halftime.
Oh, no.
You can't have halftime when God's on the counter. Just can't.
And there he is. He'd be taken off. They lost that game.
Good.
As well.
Good.
So there we are. That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Shaka is back. Frank as well. Craig, of course, with me as well to answer your questions. So be sure to stay tuned.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig here in the studio. Frank is with us. Shaka was looking a bit short today, didn't you think?
Yeah, I did.
Like your eye levels, Shaka, were a little bit central, I thought, when we took the full shot on you.
No.
There you go. Yes, it sits up a little bit.
I don't know how to.
Listen, I know things are tough, right. But are you sat on a bucket?
You sat on the floor.
That's
better, Shaq. Oh, no, he's gone back again. That's it. Yeah. Shaq, you got some new things behind you. Is that the Newcastle team?
Other side.
You're near.
Let's have a look.
That's the Newcastle. Yeah,
Oh, show us.
That's a team from
We want to see Shaka.
95-96 season.
Huh? Get it close to the camera. I want to see it.
Oh, there's a whole lot of them.
Oh.
Well, we've got plenty of time.
There you are. Beautiful.
Oh.
The Entertainers.
Is that where you finished second?
The Entertainers, baby. Yes, it is, Daniel. Thanks for reminding me.
That's right. How can we have so many copies of it?
Can I ask you to hurry up a little bit? Trinidad and Tobago playing Jamaica right now. I've got to tune in.
Oh, wow, Chad. What's at stake in that game?
Oh,
I've got bets everywhere, Dan. I've got bets everywhere going on.
No, not your gambling issues. I meant just in general as the match.
Well, I don't know yet. That's why I want to tune in. I've been talking to you.
Wait,
you rabbit it around about.
What is it? A friendly CONCACAF qualifier?
Is it the Caribbean Cup?
It's just a friendly.
Oh, well, there we are.
Beat Jamaica 1-0 in Montego Bay a couple of days ago.
Listen,
we're playing now in Kingston.
You don't watch friendlies.
Producer Mike says the game starts in an hour.
It's intense, Greg.
Starts in an hour, Shagger, apparently.
Starts in an hour.
No, I thought it started at 7.
Oh, well, apparently not.
Clocks have changed, Shag.
Apparently it's 8 o'clock. And tell us about your on-air sign. Is that flashing? That's very useful, isn't it?
Oh, no. My kids got me this for Christmas. I just remembered.
Oh, but
I don't
beautiful.
I need a plug for it.
Oh, no.
So
oh,
I just put it there.
And then there you go.
You just wait. Next time I'm on here, you'll see.
But shouldn't it be somewhere in the house to show you're on air, not behind you?
Yeah, it does. It's useless like that.
My kids don't pay any attention to me anyway.
Well, there we
no
go.
No one notices it.
not just your kids, to be fair, Shaq.
He's a goalkeeper. What do you expect?
Dan, I don't get my questions asked on the show, so please ask this one. For Frank, were you bored of City's performance today?
Oh, no, not at all. No. That was a great performance from Manchester City. I said it during the show, nothing to complain about. They did what they had to do. You know, when they have Gundogan and De Bruyne in that shape, they're unstoppable.
Oh, there we go. Didn't mention the referee.
Did you wield your power?
What power?
Did you wield your power from the seat of power there? Bear in mind that this tweet is addressed to you.
No.
Did you go running to
No, I don't.
People?
I have nothing to do with the tweets. You know that.
You do.
I don't have anything to do with them. People think
that
I choose
them. Well, you tweet
it out. You know that,
yeah.
Dan.
Why does your Twitter account not tweet out the questions?
Because they get more response if I do.
No, they don't. They've got about 65 million followers.
Yeah, but for some people,
they're just too busy tweeting out nonsense.
Oh, yeah,
every now and again,
look
they could
Dan,
help
out. Fancy boy.
What do you want, Frank?
They get more response if I tweet it out. Yeah. Oh, fancy boy, yeah. Goodness
that's
me.
You know that Don Hutchinson sent me the highlights of you asking me a question, and when I answer, asking me to shut up, you know, like a second after that. So, and saying that's the first time somebody can say that to a champion of the world, you know. So, and you have to be proud of that. Well
I definitely told you to shut up before. I don't think it's the first time, Frank.
Are we get in a decent position.
Yeah, it's true, on top of it.
What's wrong?
And you're proud of it.
It's a bit boring, isn't it?
What's wrong? Well, it's because you're not involved. Because you're not in the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm
that's the problem.
Big time guy.
Craig wants to go watch any of the boys' answers.
I meant the segment in general.
Craig,
it's got a boring... Sorry.
No, I think just because you haven't spoken much.
Only ask questions.
No, I don't want
to
speak. I don't want
to
speak. Extra time.
Craig, Conte keeps asking Tottenham fans for patience. Are there a more patient people on the planet? Maybe a guy who commits to a team for more time might grow to understand his own fans.
Is that from our producer?
No,
he's a Tottenham fan.
He is a Tottenham fan.
It's very sad, really. Because he can't... No, I didn't say he's very sad. I said it is very sad that's where it's come to.
Right.
Hearing him on here, whining away and whinging every time there's a bad performance or result.
Do Spurs fans need to be more patient?
No. Spurs fans need better.
Right.
Better investment, better results. And I think, quite frankly, they deserve to see better performances on the field.
Here we go. This is from Frank. What can Henrik...
That was a very boring answer, wasn't it?
There you are. See, you've tried to up it.
I'm up in the boredom level here.
Yep. What can Andrix do to prevent that handball? Seems like UEFA want defenders to have no arms at this point, Frank. It was a harsh penalty, wasn't it?
It was in a way that... It's killing the spirit of football. I don't even know if the ball touches the player's arm. I'm not even sure. You know, we were talking yesterday during the show because Shaka was saying, I think there is a contact. I think there is. You have to be sure in that matter, and we're not. I've seen the highlights so many times that I can't say if for sure the ball touches the player's arm. On top of it, no City players complained about. Nobody saw that. So why? VAR is not there to reveal some stuff you don't see if nobody sees it, if it's barely a foul. You know, they have to get into the obvious, and it's not obvious. So for me, it's killing the spirit. The guy doesn't even look at it. You don't know if he touches the ball. Even, was it Diaz who made the error, or Rodri?
Rodri.
He never complained. He wasn't complaining. So why do you bother?
It's a bit pedantic, isn't it, Shank?
It is. I don't think, even if it did touch the arm there, I think there was nothing unnatural about his body shape, where his arm was, given the jump. If you throw your arms up as the ball goes by you and it hits your arm, well then I think that there's no real argument. But it's natural, and you know it's in a natural shape. So I thought it was a poor decision on so many levels.
The ball goes exactly where Rodri was trying to header it. That's how minute exactly. The touch was. Minute. Never changed trajectory at all. It went exactly where he was trying to head it. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it's unnecessary. Unnecessary.
You kept saying that today. That's unnecessary. That's not what VAR was here for. You got really upset. Well, a little bit. Not as upset as Stevie at anything.
Have you guys seen a better stat padding night than this? That's a bit harsh, isn't it? What's Haaland supposed to do? Not score goals?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't just put five past Southampton.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's RB Champions Leipzig, League, round of 16.
RB Leipzig were hopeless tonight, but it is effectively a Champions League game, and they got destroyed. So, yeah. You know, that's what he was brought in to do.
There we go. Another boring answer. Yeah. Good. Final question, Frank, to all. Can you call Vardiol the best defensive prospect in Europe after this?
Can I call who?
Oh, Guardiola.
Oh, well. I think he sank with his old teammates, and that's what happened to today. It doesn't make me think that he became suddenly bad. He's a great defender. He's still fantastic for me. And again, you can have a bad day. We saw that with all players. I even saw Maldini in the middle of nowhere, you know, nowhere near it from one game. In his whole career. It can happen to everybody. We all know that Guardiola is a fantastic defender, and it's not because he conceded 7 goals with his teammates, because he's not on his own, that he became suddenly a bad defender. I won't change my mind after a game like that.
There we go. That is it.
Goalie wasn't the best, was he?
No, the goalie.
Where's Jan?
The goalie. Where Jan? Is Jan's running around Norway? Well, not running, but you
stop
know.
Blaming the goalie.
Is Jan in Manchester?
No, because he would have been in, you know, that clip they kept showing with Haaland's dad.
Oh, yeah.
He'd been with that lot, wouldn't
been
he?
There.
Yeah, exactly.
Been
no, there. I don't think he's there. I don't know where he is.
High-fiving people, like, getting in the way. His seat was, like, 40 rows away, but he was seen high-fiving. Yeah.
Took him a while to get there. Fortunately, it was 5 goals.
The fish beat him.
Yep,
the fish
battered
fish from the cap.
OK, that is it. We apologise for the standard of today's extra time. We hope it improves tomorrow.
Absolutely dross, to be honest with you.
To reflect on what's happening in Liverpool, Real Madrid and Napoli, Frankfurt.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.